Well, would you be good enough to just give me your full name?
My name's Evelyn Thompson.
Can you pick it up? Have you always been a resident of Marion?
I was born and raised here.
Born and raised here. Okay, where were you living in August of 1930?
901 West 35th.
And I want, if you will, just try to recollect. We're talking about August 6th, 7th, and 8th of 1930. It's a Wednesday, a Thursday, and a Friday. On Wednesday, late at night, over on what they call the River Road area, referred to as the Dark Secret, there was a robbery that took place, and a fellow was shot and killed. And early in the morning hours, there were three people who were apprehended, charged with the crime. A fellow by the name of Tom Shipp, Abe Smith, and Herbert Cameron. They were about, the two older ones were about 17, 18. The younger one was probably 15 or 16. They were put in jail early on the morning of the 7th, probably. In the afternoon, the fellow they shot, or allegedly shot, died. And then the lynching took place on Thursday evening. And anything you know about the circumstances, or talking to people, or reactions to it, is what I'm interested in.
Well, I didn't know the man they shot. And I had heard such a little. I don't remember much of the incident of Dark Secret. So therefore, I couldn't give you much light on that particular incident. Although I knew Tom Shipp, Abe Smith, and Herbert Cameron, I knew those three young men.
Did you know Robert Sullivan?
No, I didn't know him. I didn't know Robert Sullivan.
How well did you know them?
Who that?
Shipp, Smith, and...
Well, Shipp lived in our neighborhood. And I don't recall right where Abe Smith lived, but he lived here in town. I don't recall the address, but Shipp lived right on the bypass over here. I don't know this other one, that Sullivan. But Cameron, he lived here in town, but I didn't know his address. But I knew his mother.
How well did you know Shipp?
As a neighbor. I knew nothing of his activity, of what he did. More than hearsay. I just heard that he, you know, practiced some things that was unbecoming. But other than that, I didn't know nothing about where he went, nor nothing like that.
What kind of young fellow was he? Was he quiet, or was he outgoing, or?
Well, he seemed to be quiet here in the neighborhood. Shipp did.
Now, the Smith boy had been in some trouble. I think he'd been to the reformatory on a vehicle taking charge just before this. Did you know anything about that,
or
did you ever hear that?
No, I didn't know nothing about that.
Where were you when you first heard that there was going to be some sort of lynching going on, or some sort of...
I didn't hear that they were going to be a lynching. I knew nothing about it until after it had happened. And I was at home.
What time was that?
Well, it was at night. When I heard it, it was at night. And next thing I knew, I heard different neighbors speaking about the lynching of the two boys, Smith and Ship. And the police began to ride up and down the streets. And we were prohibited from being out on the street. Then a few days later, they called in the militia, you know, soldiers.
Right.
And they took charge of the streets, walking up and down 35th Street especially, all night long. And they camped up here in the McCullough school ground. And they didn't allow a white man down through here. There was one smart aleck, young white fella, he was going to go down through here anyhow. So the militia pulled the guns on him, told him to turn around and go back, and well, he wasn't allowed down through here. See, the Ship boy lived right down this street, crossed on the bypass. I don't know what that young fella's idea was, wanting to come down through here, because he didn't live out here. So he had to go back, and those boys, they hung there on the tree there in the courthouse yard, and when they called for the undertaker, Mr. Johnson, out of Muncie, he came over deputized and equipped with guns to defend himself in case someone else tried to take charge of the bodies. And so when the undertaker...
Who was that, you say?
Mr. Johnson, he's dead now.
Do you know what his first name was?
No, I don't remember his first name.
Well,
I did at the
some
time.
People say it was A.D. Johnson, some say it's J.E., some say it's J.D. Johnson. I can't get that straightened out.
Imagine you can get the record over at Muncie. Yeah.
I suppose you can get it in Muncie where he lived. Because he was an undertaker at that time. And he was a well-built, portly man. And he was deputized and had gun belts on. And he was a... you know, had the authority to defend himself and the bodies if anyone tried to take charge, of him or the bodies.
You say he had guns strapped on?
Yeah, he had a gun belt on, just like any other policeman. And he stopped over there on the bypass at his mother and father's home, which they are both deceased now.
And Ship, you mean?
Yeah, Ship's
What was
parent.
His father's name?
Martin Ship.
What was his mother's name?
Molly?
Mm-hmm. And did he have other brothers and sisters?
He had two other brothers and one sister.
Well, you know their names?
Well, now Johnny, dead. Johnny's dead. And Henry, he's still living. I was talking with him just day before yesterday. And his sister, she's still living.
What's her name?
Alberta Reeves.
What about the Smith? What was his folks' name? Did you know them?
Well, his mother's name was Eliza Conway, and she's deceased. And he has a half-sister who lives right across the street there. And I don't know if any
Jim Hart and him. Jim Hart, well, he's a half-brother too. Jim half?
Jim Howard. Yeah. That was Mabel's son.
Yeah, it's Mabel's son.
Mabel's son.
Yeah.
What about Herbert Cameron? Did you know his family?
I just knew his mother and his stepfather. And both of them are deceased.
What was his stepfather's name, do you remember?
His Burden, Hezekiah Burden.
And his mother's name was?
Vera.
Vera, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the rest of them.
Remember when his was back in that cornfield?
Yes, uh-huh.
That's over there.
Yeah, because you see, they had Herbert Cameron,
yeah.
And they was going to lynch Herbert.
Yeah.
But they found out they had the wrong man. See, and they had to turn him loose. And so then the police, for some reason or other, they got after his stepdaddy. His stepfather had to run.
Yeah, you remember Spud, don't you?
Who's that?
William Bernard. Now, he was in the jail, you know, they call him Spud. He was in jail that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and he left here, and he'd been down in Indianapolis ever since, and he was over to Larry's office talking to Larry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just heard of that there, Bernoff, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
we called
him
Spud.
Yeah, well, I didn't know his nickname.
Yeah,
but nevertheless, we went through quite an ordeal because some of the people got so excited and frustrated until they left their homes. Some of them went to Weaver, but my parents said my mother said she wasn't going nowhere.
What were your parents' names?
Emma and Charles Lee. See, he was my stepfather.
Where did you live then?
901 West 35th down here.
She said she wasn't going anywhere, huh?
She didn't go. We didn't go nowhere. We didn't go nowhere.
Her father was a great, big, tall rapper.
What did he do? What kind?
My stepfather, he was a hod carrier. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my mother, she didn't have to work unless she wanted to. Sometimes she'd go out, do a little house job or something, help at a restaurant or something, just, I guess, to break the monotony or something. She didn't have to work.
They were always in pretty good shape.
We were a people in this neighborhood that was quiet.
Yeah.
We didn't have no trouble with nobody. And that was what upset us. When them old hillbillies killed them there, two young men. And it was exciting to a lot of people because we'd never went through that before. And if some had an inkling or knew of that, it wouldn't have happened. Because there was some that was well fortified enough, they'd have been up there if they'd have knew anything like that was going to happen, but nobody knew it.
What was the feelings about toward the sheriff when it was over?
Jake Campbell.
And that old Jake Campbell, he lessened the sheriff when he took off. We had no protection. He took off, couldn't be found.
You're talking about Jack.
Jack
the mayor.
The mayor.
Yeah, Jack Edmonds.
Yeah, but old Campbell, I don't know where he go.
Oh, well, he left shortly after that, you know. But he come back, he wasn't gone too long.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
now
what
do you think about
off.
Jack on it, Abby? What do you think about Jack on it?
Well, it went to show he didn't care. He didn't care if he had her. He wouldn't have let them in there.
You know, you're talking about the sheriff now letting them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jake Campbell.
Yeah. He would. The sheriff didn't care. He would not have let him in. And as a mayor of the city, he should have looked out more for the citizens of the city, because that could have caused a terrible race riot. See?
But there, I believe there would have been a race riot if they hadn't blocked people from coming in from Kokomo, Muncie,
Chicago,
and Indianapolis and Chicago.
It would have been.
It would have been a race riot.
But they kept them out. They had roadblocks up, kept them out. In other words, they didn't intend for us to have no help on nothing.
Yeah, but did you allow them to smoke in here?
Huh?
Did I smoke in here?
Well, I very seldom allow smoking in here, so
I don't
smoke. I get you know that their smoke gets in my throat.
Okay, I'll give you a ring, honey.
Yeah, I have that allergy, you see, that hay fever,
yeah.
And it gets in the throat and makes me cough.
Well, keep talking. I don't want to break your train of thought.
So I still say that's a black mark on Marion, that we'll never be able to live it down. Because I have went to Chicago. I've been to Indianapolis. I have been to Memphis, Tennessee. I've been to Gary. And in some of your conversations with different people, you meet that degrading conversation. See? And I'm poor, but I'm proud. And I don't like no such junk as that. I don't like it. So we were one that didn't even, we were one family that didn't even run. We were not going to run. So
a lot of people armed themselves.
They were, they just had some things in the house. Like a lot of people had their shotguns or rifles to go hunting. They didn't have them for no violence.
Everybody hunted around here.
Yeah, they went hunting. That was their winter sport. They didn't harbor guns in their houses for trouble, because we never looked for no trouble. Trouble was the least thing we thought about. We didn't think about no trouble. And I still don't like trouble. So I said this, I hope it never happens again.
Do you know Mrs. Bailey?
Who, Flossie Bailey?
The Dr. Bailey's wife?
Yeah, Flossie Bailey. I used to go down there and help her out a little bit before she passed.
She, apparently, from everything I can gather, she talked to the sheriff sometime Wednesday, Thursday afternoon, and told him she thought there was going to be some trouble. Do you know anything about that?
No, I never heard that. I don't know about that.
What kind of lady was she? Was she kind of feisty gal?
Oh, I don't know whether you call her that or not. She was a nice Christian woman.
Yeah, nice Christian.
And she's very respectable business woman. And I did like her. I liked her attitude and the philosophy she used in going before the public.
Yeah. She
and,
was
an NAACP. And you know, being before the public, in the city, and in the church. She's a church-going woman. And he was stricken at church. He was at church when he took sick. Of course, he never lived over that sickness that he was stricken with, I think, whatever he had.
Did people generally think that this shooting thing was a bad thing and the boys shouldn't have done it? Or do people think that maybe they didn't do it at all? Or what was the thought at the time?
Well, the people were strictly against that shooting. And naturally, they didn't endorse no stealing out of those two boys, or three boys, or whichever it was. There was another old woman in there, young woman in there, the old Mary Ball.
Mm-hmm.
She was in it.
Did you know her?
No, I saw her up on the street. She was pointed out to me on the street. And she wasn't nothing but an old prostitute, old streetwalker.
Did you ever hear that she knew these boys, Chip and Smith, or she went with them, or she dated them, or? Anybody?
I heard she was with them on several occasions. Yeah. She was with them. She knew them.
You think she did?
She did. She had to know them to be running around with them. Yeah, she was with them. She was with them. I heard when whatever it was that happened, I don't know.
It was over her being with us.
Yeah, and so therefore, I tell you, they, when I saw her up on the street, she had an old voile, you know what a voile is, it's very thin material, and she was standing up there by the Paris when I saw her uptown on 3rd Street, standing there on the corner. I don't know what her business was. But you could see clear through her. she was that thinly dressed. I guess she didn't care if the whole world knew, the whole city knew what she was. I tell you, when I saw her, I was so vexed and aggravated that I could have took a board and run her home. Every time people don't put on underclothes and a thin voile dress on, they need to be board used on them. So, but nevertheless, I don't know what happened to her. I don't, if I see her anymore, I don't know her.
You know her brother's still around here. Chet, he's still around
here. Is he? I didn't know her brother.
We used to work together down there in the machine.
Yeah.
We used to run the face of machine.
Oh.
And you have to promote him.
Yeah, well, I didn't know him. But anyhow, I saw her. And of course, Chip, as quiet as he was, we were mystified to the extent it was hard to believe that he was in that kind of mess. You take a quiet, easygoing person. I guess those ones where deep water, where still water runs deep.
You ever find out whose gun this was? Yeah. I haven't been able to find out. Never did hear.
No, I never heard either. I don't know. I don't know.
Then, did you ever hear about there was a colored woman out there that night with a white fellow that identified him to? Did you hear that?
Uh-uh.
I didn't hear that.
No. I tell you one thing, Miss Ship, she just went into hysterics. Yeah. You could hear that woman screaming after she got the word that that boy was lynched. You could hear her screaming way up the street there near Allen Temple. That woman's voice carried that far.
Do you know where they arrested him, Chip? Mm-mm. Or Cameron or Smith or any of them that night? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't. I don't. I never heard where they arrested him. When I heard anything about it, they were arrested then and was in jail. Then some of the people began to make assertions if that man died, they was going to kill them boys. That's what I heard, but they were dead when I heard that. See, I tell you, the word got out so slow. People wasn't looking for this. That was the least of their expectation.
You know if Mrs. Shipp ever visited him in the jail?
I don't know whether she was in such a state of shock. I don't know if she got up there or not. Now she could have, but I don't know of her getting up there.
They had the funeral right in over here in their home, didn't they? You remember?
Let's see. I believe. I think they did bring the bodies back because Ship was minus of one arm. He didn't have no right arm. That arm was gone.
When the bodies came back?
Well, it was gone when the Undertaker took him. See, it was gone then. Because if he'd have had it, he'd have buried it with the body, see? Those bodies was mutilated so till they were
buried. They say he really put up an awful fight then.
Yeah, they about pulled his arm off. They drug him, too. And cut parts of their body off and their tongue and part of it was hanging out their mouth. They was in terrible shape. When that Undertaker went down this street here and got down there, that water, he had them in what you call plastic bags. And that water was running out from under the doors of that hearse. You could just track that hearse, you know, down the street.
Well, he was taking him to Muncie?
He was on his way then to Muncie, but he stopped.
By the house.
at the parents' home. And now, in regards to Smith, I don't know where he stopped that for to, you know, get in contact with his people, because his mother was in Iowa at the time. And a neighbor heard the news over the radio and asked her if she knew anything about that person.
That was Selma's son, then, what?
Who?
Was that Sally Smith's son?
Who?
Out in Iowa, Sally Smith, Turner Wallace half-sister.
Who, Liza Smith?
No, I got you now. I remember Liza Conaway.
Yeah, because she was many days sister. Yeah.
Dan Conaway.
Yeah.
She was out in Iowa, huh?
Yeah, she was living out there at the time. Mm-hmm. Her son was lynched.
Did she come back, do you know?
Yeah, she came back. Yeah, she came back, and after the funeral and everything was over, she went back out there. But later years, she came back here to Marion to live, and here is where she died.
Where did they bury Ship, do you know?
They buried him out here in near Weaver, out there in Weaver. And
did you go to the funeral?
I was over there to the house, but the house so small, you go around the scene, but you had to come back out. See,
they had the casket open or closed?
They had to open. You could see him. That's how come I knew he didn't have but one arm. See, that sleeve there was flat. See, it was flat, no arm in it. And that's how come I knew that. He only had one arm, but you could see this other, you know, the shape of the arm in the coat sleeve. And Mr. Johnson said he fixed the body so, because he himself had got the word, wherever they buried him at, they was going to go dig him up. And he said he wasn't worried. Said the very first one dug them up and opened that casket, they're gonna be dead right there at the grave. See, now I don't know what he'd done to the bodies. He had to do something to them for something like that to build up in there after the lid is closed.
Like an explosion or something?
I don't know. He didn't say what it would do.
Nobody bothered him.
Didn't nobody go out there and bother him? Sure didn't do that. And because he said you'd find them right there at the grave. Now what it would do, I don't know. Because he didn't go into that detail.
Yeah, I wonder why they didn't bury them out the IWF.
They wasn't gonna...
Wouldn't let them have it.
Well, they didn't want them out there. They didn't want them out
there. Well, Smith's not buried at Weaver, is he?
I guess so. I guess they buried
him. I think Smith is buried at IOOF.
Did he bury him out there?
I think so.
They buried him out here.
I thought both of them was buried out here too.
Yeah.
No, I think Ship's buried out here at Weaver, and I think he's at IOOF. I believe.
I don't know about him. I was thinking both of them was buried out here.